welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 20th of May 2013, the podcast that cuts the bacon and brings home the cheese. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's emasculate the news of the bogus. For years, thanks in part to the fear, uncertainty, and doubt spread by anti-vaxxers, pregnant women have been reluctant to get the flu shot. After all, vaccines have a lot of dangerous-sounding chemicals in there, and if there's even a chance of harming the baby, well, it's best to avoid that, right? Not anymore. According to findings published in the May 8th edition of JAMA Psychiatry, pregnant women exposed to the flu experience a 400% increase in the risk of their child developing bipolar disorder later in life, and a 600% increase in the rate of psychosis. This on top of the evidence showing links to schizophrenia and other mental diseases. The greatest risk seems to be in the second and third trimesters. According to one of the study's authors, Alan Brown, quote, "Prospective mothers should take common sense preventative measures, such as getting flu shots prior to and in the early stages of pregnancy, and avoiding contact with people who are symptomatic. In spite of public health recommendations, only a relatively small fraction of such women get immunized. The weight of evidence now suggests that benefits of the vaccine likely outweigh any possible risk to the mother or newborn." This comes after a previous study showed increased risk of autism in the children of pregnant women who got viral infections in the first trimester. The right vaccine might even prevent autism in these cases. Meanwhile, things are looking up on the other side of the world. The Taliban has renounced their war against polio vaccination workers and has acknowledged that vaccines are the only way to effectively prevent the disease. The violence against vaccination workers was spurred on by Taliban officials who claim it was being used by foreign governments to gather intelligence. Of course, they were right about that in one instance. This podcast has reported before how fake vaccination campaigns were used as a front so DNA samples could be collected in the hopes of tracking down Osama bin Laden. Easily one of the stupidest things our government has ever done. At least now, thanks to the Taliban finally seeing sense, there will hopefully be no further damage caused by this hideous campaign. And maybe, as more good information like Brown's study comes to light and gets passed around, the even greater damage caused worldwide by anti-vaccination forces will cease as well. Speaking of governments doing stupid things, the North Carolina government has proposed legislation to end unfair competition in the automotive industry. Now, you know when government says unfair competition, they really mean people who compete with our cronies, right? Yeah, in this case it's Tesla Motors, which is pretty much the only car company in America that sells directly to consumers. When the Tesla Model S started outselling similar cars from Mercedes, BMW, and Audi, the North Carolina Senate Commerce Committee decided enough was enough. If their proposal were to be passed into law, it would prohibit automakers from selling cars directly to consumers in North Carolina. And wouldn't you know it, the driving force behind the bill is the North Carolina Automobile Dealers Association, middlemen who want you to buy cars from them instead of bypassing them and getting them straight from the company. The bill sponsor is Senator Tom Apodaca. And would you look at that? He got $8,000 in campaign contributions from that very same dealers association last year. Wow, what a coincidence. This isn't the first time a state has acted against Tesla. In Texas, employees at Tesla's showrooms aren't allowed to sell cars, allow test drives, or even say how much it costs. But North Carolina's law would go even further and expressly prohibit North Carolinians from buying the car online. People, can the cronyism get any more obvious? What's it going to take for people to finally realize that politicians do not have their best interests at heart? And moreover, that they can only do this because of things such as campaign finance laws that make it so that only incumbents and their cronies can play this little game, with challengers constantly being shut out. It shouldn't even matter whether or not Apodaca is a political crony or a well-meaning politician. Government shouldn't even have the power to say what we can and cannot purchase. And if we could limit the government to only its legitimate functions, then no amount of campaign donations from the Dealers Association or anyone else could ever make a politician try something like this. Because government wouldn't even have the power to do it in the first place. It isn't corporate money that corrupts government. It's corrupt government that brings the corporate money into the scenario to begin with. And the sooner we learn that lesson, the better. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about the savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And if you buy before May 31st, 2013, you'll get a whopping 35% off your order, and you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. You know, you can say what you like about Obama. At least he promised to have the most transparent government in history. That's why, when the American Civil Liberties Union filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the Justice Department to find out about government snooping on text messages without a warrant, they responded promptly with the document in question. There's just one tiny little problem. Every single word of every single page was blacked out. Entirely. The request came after the ACLU received documents implying that the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office engage in warrantless surveillance of email and text messages. Despite the fact that the Sixth Court of Appeals ruled in U.S. v. Warshak that government must obtain a probable cause warrant before compelling email providers to turn over messages to law enforcement, the FBI's 2012 Domestic Investigations and Operations Guide states, quote, "In enacting the ECPA, Congress concluded that customers may not retain a reasonable expectation of privacy in information sent to network providers if the contents of an unopened message are kept beyond 6 months or stored on behalf of the customer after the email has been received or opened. The government may subpoena the records from the third party without running afoul of either the Fourth or Fifth Amendment." So the ACLU requested a document entitled Guidance for the Minimization of Text Messages Over Dual-Function Cellular Telephones. The White House responded with a copy of the memorandum with all headers intact and every single one of the 15 pages of content entirely blacked out. Really, that's like the best way government can communicate an FYTW to the people. And this isn't the only time this happened. The ACLU also requested the document Guidance Regarding the Application of United States v. Jones to Additional Investigative Techniques, and was met with a similar response, except in this case, it was a 54-page document that was redacted in its entirety. I mean, what's the point of even having the Freedom of Information Act? Does anyone still labor under any delusion that the current administration is to be trusted at all? And now it's time to put into remission this week's biggest bogon emitter. And I'll tell you who it's not. It's not Angelina Jolie, who carries a mutation in a gene called BRCA1. Ordinarily, BRCA1 helps prevent cancer by repairing damaged DNA and destroying cells whose DNA cannot be repaired. But if the BRCA1 gene is itself damaged, it can't do its job, and this greatly increases the risk of various cancers. Jolie's particular BRCA1 variation gave her an 87% risk of developing breast cancer during her life. But there's a fairly straightforward procedure that drops this risk down to about 5%, a double mastectomy. So it's no bogosity that Jolie did exactly that, but that didn't stop the bailiffs of bogosity over at Natural News from using this as yet another platform to spout their insane anti-science conspiracy garbage. In particular, Natural News editor Mike Adams published an article entitled Angelina Jolie Inspires Women to Maim Themselves by Celebrating Medically Perverted Double Mastectomies. Are you ready for the fail? Quote, Angelina Jolie announced yesterday that she had both of her breasts surgically removed, even though she had no breast cancer. She carries the BRCA1 gene, and she has been tricked into believing the genetic code is some sort of absolute blueprint to disease expression, which it most certainly is not. Oh yeah? Well then maybe you'd like to explain why it is that women who inherit these mutated variants of BRCA1 show such an increased risk for breast cancer. Why are those women with the variants who got double mastectomies 89% less likely to develop ovarian cancer and 61% less likely to develop breast cancer than those with the variant who did not get a preventive mastectomy? Also, this is a mutated gene, so a mother has a 50-50 chance of passing it on to her children. Women with this variant gene, at high risk for breast cancer themselves, often have children without the variant who are at no greater risk for breast cancer than other non-carriers in the population. The fail continues, quote, "Countless millions of women carry the BRCA1 gene and never express breast cancer." Morons! All women carry the BRCA1 gene, and if the gene is doing its job, most will never get breast cancer. It's only when the BRCA1 gene is damaged in some way that poses this enormous risk. And even if we fix their statement to read, "Countless millions of women carry the mutated BRCA1 gene and never expressed breast cancer," yeah, well, that's what we'd expect. If it puts you at an 87% risk during a normal lifespan, then 13% of those with the variant who live a normal lifespan will never get it. And of course, a lot of them will likely die of something else, a traffic accident or whatever, before they ever have a chance to develop cancer. They're just ignoring the statistics and using an over 9,000 fallacy. So what's their reason for why these women don't get breast cancer? Quote, "Because they lead healthy, anti-cancer lifestyles based on smart nutrition, exercise, sensible sunlight exposure, and avoidance of cancer-causing chemicals." As good as all of these things might be, they just aren't enough to explain this enormous difference. All of these factors and more are controlled for in the studies, and still, the only thing that explains this enormous difference is whether or not the woman has a functioning BRCA1 gene. If you do, your risk is 5%. If you don't, it's 87%. And you can't overcome such an astounding risk with better nutrition or whatever. Quote, "Worse than merely maiming herself in an act of outright medical quackery." You know, it occurs to me that a group of people who deny the germ theory of disease have no business using the term medical quackery to refer to other people. Angelina Jolie has positioned her decision as some sort of women's liberation crusade, acting and talking as if her choice to remove her breasts somehow blazes a new path of female power for all women. How sick is this, really? Well, not anywhere near as sick as continually lying to people about health and medicine, discouraging them from getting preventative surgery or vaccines or any of the other amazing life-saving medicines and procedures you morons constantly bleed against. The people who listen to your bogosity and follow your advice put themselves at greater risk of dying. And that is far more sick and depraved than anything you accuse the cancer industry of doing. Quote, "Oh, what a mess Jolie has made of herself. She has maimed her own body with no medical justification whatsoever, then celebrated this horrible disfiguration through some sort of twisted perception of what womanhood really is. Being an empowered woman doesn't mean cutting off your breasts and aborting live babies, even though both of these things are often celebrated by delusional women's groups. Being an empowered woman means protecting your health, your body, and your womanhood by honoring and respecting your body, not maiming it." Hey, blockheads, how much do you think cancer is going to maim her body should she get it? Oh, right, you guys think that cancer is caused by not eating enough fiber. Sorry, I forgot the level of stupid I was dealing with here. Quote, "Cancer, by the way, is a systemic problem when it emerges, not a local problem limited to just the breasts or other organs." No one said it was, imbeciles. But we know that certain particular variants of BRCA1 put women at an abnormally high risk for breast cancer. Really, this is like saying not to wear a seatbelt because you can also die falling out of a tree. Quote, "You'll note, by the way, that men never have their testicles removed to lower the risk of testicular cancer." Probably because the lifelong risk of testicular cancer is only 0.4%. Far below even the 5% risk Jolie now enjoys, and way below the 87% risk she was facing earlier. But numbers apparently mean nothing when you're trying to con people into buying your stupid CDs, and you don't care the first thing about how many of them suffer horribly because of the misinformation you give them. Oh yeah, that's right. This whole article is basically one big sales pitch for their new cancer solution CD set. But it's Big Pharma that's greedy, not them. Right. After all of that, who else other than Natural News was going to get named this week's biggest bogon emitter? History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom, probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web. Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. And now let's try and stick some kluons into the meter of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
There's been a lot of interesting things happening in Keene, New Hampshire over the last few years. When the Free State Project selected New Hampshire as the state to attract 20,000 liberty lovers to move to, for whatever reason, a lot of them seem to have selected Keene, and they've done a lot of good things, such as standing up for the right of citizens to video on-duty police officers in public. And occasionally, they prompt the state or local government into exposing or even admitting to the reality behind how government operates, and it isn't to make us safe. It's to get our money. And if you need any convincing of this, just consider the actions of a group that goes by the moniker Robin Hood and his Merry Men. They've been going around Keene putting money into expired meters and leaving a note on the car which reads, quote, "Your meter expired. However, we saved you from the king's tariffs. Robin Hood and his Merry Men. Please consider paying it forward." Now they're being sued by the city of Keene. Wait, what? This group is giving the city money and they're suing? What's up with that? Well, the city is claiming that this group has, quote, "intentionally taunted, interfered with, harassed, and intimidated meter readers and other city officials." Although apparently harassed means as little as taking video of them while on duty. And that was exactly what one parking enforcement officer said, that they were, quote, "crowding around me, making video recordings of my activities, and placing coins in expired meters to prevent me from writing tickets." Hang on just a second. You're a public employee, are you not? And you are out in public, are you not? The courts have said over and over again that recording video of on-duty officers is protected by the First Amendment, as is recorded anything that happens in a public place. They're covered on two grounds. But it's the second statement that really exposes the bogosity here. Placing coins in expired meters to prevent them from writing tickets. Look, if this were really about paying what they owe for parking there, it shouldn't matter the first bit who pays it or when. If I'm running a business, and I'm about to take a customer to collections because he hasn't paid, and someone else runs up and pays for him, I smile and say, "thank you." That's not what the government does. And there's only one reason why. If you put that quarter in the meter, then they don't get to write a ticket and collect fines that are a lot bigger than the quarter the activist just put in the meter. Yep, it's about getting your money, nothing more. In fact, the group claims to have saved over 2,000 residents from getting parking tickets due to expired meters. She also complained, quote, "These individuals repeatedly taunt and harass me, asking why I am stealing people's money and telling me to get another job." Wow, you mean you're actually getting feedback from the public? And some of them are complaining about what you're doing? Wow, how horrible! I mean, it's not like they have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances or anything. Another officer claimed that he was so stressed by this that he had heart palpitations and nightmares. Man, and I thought Anita Sarkeesian was thin-skinned. City Councilor James Duffy said, quote, "It's affecting the employees, and it's taking a lot of time and energy to deal with it. And so the city's intent was to try to establish some clear boundaries and a little breathing room. We're not saying you can't complain about the meters or plug them. It's just how that's done." Right. You can protest the government as long as you don't do it in a way that's inconvenient for them. Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of protesting? So let's recap. They pretty much admit that their parking scheme is a fraud to try and get tickets, to make money rather than just making sure the normal parking fees are covered. Otherwise, they'd thank the Robin Hoods. They complain about getting negative feedback from members of the public, and say you can only protest as long as they're not inconvenienced by it. Are they so stupid, or so embroiled in the dogma of their own cult, that they really can't see what they've done? Or are they just so brazen about it that they don't care? Either way, it's more than enough to make the entire city government of Keene, New Hampshire this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Don't Squeeze the Charmin edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums over at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Algernon Sidney. "That which is not just is not law, and that which is not law ought not to be obeyed." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.